Ain't you glad God gave you a mind to keep you? Amen. Hallelujah. You ain't got to commit suicide. Our hearts and our prayers do go out to these people. But my God, I just thank God that I'm not in that position anymore. Amen. I say anymore, like I've never been in that position. But God is just an awesome God. He deserved praise. Don't God deserve praise? We ain't got to worry about what tomorrow's going to bring. We already know what tomorrow's going to bring. Peace. That's what he said. I know the thoughts that I think toward you, thoughts of peace and not evil, to give you an expected end. So our end is greater. Amen. Our end is greater than the beginning. My God. Sometimes it's, you know, it's can't wait to get to the end because I know the end going to be good. You know, sometimes the start don't be good, but the ending be really good, don't it? See how they ended dramatically on that movie? And see how the end has got to be a sequel coming. Amen. God got a sequel coming. He got a sequel coming this year. Amen. That sequel, that same sequel is coming, but it's going to be greater. It's going to be better. Have you ever seen a movie that they made the first movie and the second movie can't top the first movie? It got to be really good to beat that first movie. But this year going to be really good. It's going to beat that last year. Amen. It's going to be really good. So keep yourself encouraged. Know who your God is. Know what he has done. Remember what he has done for you all these years. Not just last year, but all these years, how he kept you. Man, God got something greater for you. Something much more greater. God just don't do the same thing over and over. God does it better. Man, he's a good God. He's a great God. He's terrific. Amen. Whatever that means. They say it's a word, but God is a good God. Come on, give him one more good clap offering. We do thank the Lord for being here this morning. We thank God for his goodness and his grace and his mercy. Man, without his mercy, what would we be? We'd be in bad shape without the mercies of God. Amen. God is good. We're going to be talking to you a little bit about the Good Samaritan. You know, Lord has been dealing with me about giving. And man, I tell you, I've been going through some stuff about giving. And so Lord had me to read about the Good Samaritan. You know, oftentimes when our hearts, we feel like we should give, something step in the way and say, no, don't give it. They just beggars. They just professional this and they professional that. Lord, I know I've said before, I'm guilty of this. Maybe this sermon is just for me. This message is for me. You know, Lord, give me wisdom on who to give. I give you wisdom on how to give. Who to give to, Lord. Jesus said, those that ask, give and don't hold nothing back. That's what he said. He said, I'm going to give you wisdom so you can look out there and see who to give to. That person got a whole lot of money. I bet he do, so I'm not going to give to that person. That person look like they ain't got nothing, so I'm going to give that. That might be one got the most money. You know, some people out there, they dress themselves up in the finest clothes and think that they got a bunch of money. They just spent their last few dollars on that little outfit they had. They ain't got nothing in their pocket, nothing in the bank. But that person look like he ain't got nothing. He probably sitting on something. Amen? So we got to be careful about what the world, about what the words say do. And yes, don't let your heart get in way unless God get in your heart. If God get in your heart and tell you to give, then you give. Amen? So we're going to go right to the word. We thank God for you being here. Thank God for Brother Clay, Sister Tina. God is going to bless you. He going to move for you. Keep being faithful. God going to move for you. He's going to move. God going to heal your body. God going to deliver you. He going to open up doors. God, keep serving God. Keep your hope in God, brother said this morning. Keep your hope in God. God going to move for you. Devil just trying to distract you. He's trying to lie to you and say you made a mistake. You made a mistake. I should have still been out there. I could have still been out there with $1,000 in my pocket every day. Now I ain't got $1,000 in my pocket. When I wasn't saved, I kept $1,000 cash, as they say, whole card cash in my pocket. And some people think about that, what they used to have when they wasn't saved. But you got more. You got much more than what you had. I just had $1,000. God got more than enough. I don't need that thousand. All I need is King Jesus. All I need is my Lord and my Savior. He'll create $1,000 if I need it. He'll make it happen. He'll tell you to go down there to the fishes and open up their mouth and get what you need out of God to do some strange things. Amen. That's why he's called God. That's why he is God, because he can do what you can't do. Let's go to the Bible this morning. We're going to be in Luke 10, chapter 25. Not going to try to keep you long, but I'm going to give you what God gave me. Let us also remember that it's going to get back cold. If you have any, I'm asking, you have any old jackets that you don't want, you don't need no more, some blankets? I like to have them, you know, and wash them if you can. You know, I like to have them because the Lord put on my heart to do something with those things. Y'all know I'm going to give them out, but something I can't say, I don't want to say over the air. But God put on my heart to do something. So if you have any old jackets, clothing, you know, something that's usable and that's going to keep somebody warm, you know, could you bring them to me so I can make use of them? Is that all right? God, Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord God, for this day, Lord God. We thank you, God, that this is the day that you have made, Lord God. We're going to rejoice and we're going to be glad in it, Lord God, because your mercy endured forever, Lord. God, we thank you, Father God, for your grace and your mercy, Lord. We thank you for your word, Lord. We thank you, Father God, for the Holy Ghost, Lord God. We thank you, Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord God, for keeping our hearts and our mind. Now, God, we ask that you will drive back any confusion, God, in the name of anything that the devil tries to do in this service, Lord God. We ask, Father God, that you will push it back, Lord God, that your word may go forth, God. We ask that you, God, would just cultivate, God, the hearts this morning. Let this word, Father God, find good ground, God, and let it bring forth, Lord God, and prosper, Lord. We ask it in the name of Jesus. We ask that you would look in on the sick this morning, God, those that are oppressed, God, those that are depressed, Lord God. We pray, God, that you would touch and deliver them, Father. Lord, look on those that are in the hospital, Lord God. Lord, we call this young man's name Jaden, Lord God. Lord, we ask that you continue to have mercy upon him, God. Raise him up, Father God, and use him, Father God. Daniel, Lord God. Lord, open up that prison door, Father God, as the saints begins to pray, God. We pray, Father God, that your will be done, Lord God. Stir us up, God, in our souls and our spirits, Lord God. Oh, God, that we do the work, God, of an evangelist. We get out there, God, and tell the world, Lord God, about Jesus. Oh, God, and we just pray, Father God, today, God, for our leader, Lord God. We pray for pastor. We pray, God, that you will keep her, Lord. We pray, God, that you'll continue to strengthen her, Lord, in the name of Jesus. Meet her every need, God. Lord God, move, God, these struggles, oh, God. Move these things, God, out of her way, God, that's hindering her, Father. We ask it all in the name of Jesus, and let the church say amen. Hallelujah. Chapter 10, verse 25. And behold, a certain lawyer stood up and tempted him, saying, Master, what shall I do to inherit eternal life? And he said unto him, What is written in the law? How readest thou? It is this lawyer, the Bible says, calls himself tempting Jesus. You know, sometimes some people can get so smart, so educated, you know, they forget that wisdom, that knowledge, and that understanding came from somewhere. And this man had the audacity, the nerve, to ask the master. He didn't call him master. He said to him, What should I do? And he said, Master. He called him master. This educated man called Jesus the master, which he is. You know, what must I do? He tempting the man. How you tempt the one that knows everything? How you tempt the one that gave you your wisdom, your knowledge, your understanding? How you call yourself finna pull a bag over his head? Amen. How you figure you gonna get one past, slip one past Jesus? You know, he really didn't know who Jesus was. He didn't recognize him as he called him. Amen. Otherwise, he wouldn't have been trying to tempt Jesus. You know, us educated folk can be something else sometimes. They'd be so educated and book smart, they have no common sense at all. And he said unto him, what is written? Jesus said, what is written in the law? How readest thou? And he answered and said, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy strength, with all thy mind, and thy neighbor as thyself. And he said unto him, Jesus said unto him, thou hast answered it right. This do, and thou shalt live. But he willing to justify himself, saying unto Jesus, who is my neighbor? Who is my neighbor? And this lawyer was trying to limit the definition of the word neighbor. He was trying to exclude certain people, trying to set boundaries to these neighbors. You know, who is my neighbor? Who I'm supposed to be neighborly to? Tell me that, Jesus. You know, who I'm supposed to be neighbor? Because they didn't care for a whole lot of folk. They didn't care for the Christians. They didn't care for the Samaritans. You know, they didn't care for the whole lot of people. So who is my neighbor? Tell me who my neighbor is. Who I'm supposed to be neighborly to? Who you supposed to be neighborly to, church? He was trying to set some boundaries. You know, he wanted to be neighborly to a certain people. You know how we really love our own. And the Bible says the world love its own. You know how we love our own family, you know. I can be real neighborly to Tawana and my family before I be neighborly to anybody else. You know, we got a boundary. We just got this, a limit, you know. Just your subdivision is my neighbors. My neighbor live across the street from me. Amen. He was trying to, you know, slip this one by. He was trying to say he fulfilled all of the commandments. And Jesus answered and said unto him, a certain man, he gave him this parable. A certain man went down from Jerusalem to Jericho, and he fell among thieves, which stripped him of his garment, of his raiment, and wounded him and departed, leaving him half dead. Here it is. Jesus said, there's a certain individual fell among some thieves. They stripped him of his clothes, left him naked, wounded, scarred, and they departed, not even looking back to see if he was alive or not. The Bible said they leaving him half dead. And he says, by chance there came down a certain priest that way, and when he saw him, he passed by on the other side. Why would this priest pass by on the other side? And likewise a Levite, when he was at the place, came and looked on him and passed by on the other side. And I said, Lord, why would this priest pass by on the other side? When a priest, I guess when this priest saw him, you know, he saw that this man was naked and he looked on him. He probably thought he was dead. Man wasn't, he was bloody, all beat up, probably wasn't moving. And this priest, instead of being neighborly, you know, to kneel down and help this man, he thought about the law. It's a dead person. I can't touch him. So I'm going to cross the street. I'm going to go on the other side. See, they had a law that they couldn't touch no dead. If they touched anybody, anything that was dead, they would be unclean. So maybe this priest thought that this man was dead, and he thought, well, I'm not going to put my hands on him, so I'm going to go on the other side. By touching a dead body made them ceremonially unclean. But the Levite, the Bible says, came to the same place, and he looked on him. It looked like, sound like he gazed on this man and looked on him and saw that he was in need. He was living. He was naked. wounded, scarred, but he crossed on the other side too. Maybe this one here thought, well, I'll pray for you. You ever seen people laying out? You know, you say, well, I'm going to pray for them instead of going over there and see what's wrong with them. And this man looked on them, saw that he needs clothes. What did John, James say? He said, look, if you got a brother and sister that's in need of food or clothing that's naked, he said, you give them the things that they need. Amen. So this man didn't give him what he needed. You know, he could have covered him up. He could have given him a cup of water. You know, he could have given him something to eat. You know, he could have, can I help you? Or even call for help. He could have called 911. Look, there's a man laying out on the street over here. I don't know if he's dead or not. But he crossed on the other side. Amen. How many of y'all cross on the other side when you're trying to get away from somebody? How many of y'all cross the street? How many of y'all go in one way and see somebody begging, you come out another way? So you won't have to give them. How many of y'all hear something, say, well, turn a deaf ear, say, I didn't hear that. I'm going to go about my business. You know, this man saw that he had a need. Not just any old man. This was a priest, a Levite. And he was, can I use the word saved? They were saved folk running from their duties, running from what they're supposed to do. Jesus painting this picture to this lawyer. And the Bible said he looked on him and gazed on him for a while. And he saw that he wasn't dead. And he saw that he had needed some help. And so he passed on the other side. He didn't try to give this man nothing. He didn't try to help him or anything. James said, what do it profit, my brother, though a man say he had faith and had not works? Can faith save him? That kind of faith can't save him. He said, if a brother or sister is naked and destitute of food, daily food, one you say, and one of you say to them, depart in peace, be warmed and filled, notwithstanding to give them the things that they need for the body. He said, even though faith, if it had not works, it is dead alone. See, faith produces something. Amen. Faith brings about something. Faith produces patience. Faith will produce peace. Amen. Faith will produce gentleness. It will produce compassion. Faith, real faith, will produce love. Faith will produce that type of love to where you just cannot turn aside and walk away from an individual that's in need. Amen. That kind of faith would draw you to a person. Faith, compassion don't pull you away from a situation like that. When you have compassion and love towards somebody, and it ain't got to be your brother, your sister. Amen. When you have true compassion, that same compassion that Jesus had that pulled him from somewhere. Amen. It pulled him from heaven down here in earth where he knew he was going to be mistreated. But he came for your sake and my sake. Amen. He had compassion. He didn't let it keep him in heaven. You know, this compassion that they had, the Levites, this compassion that they had, the priests, this compassion that we do have periodically. We have passion when we want to have passion. We have love when we want to have love. Amen. That type of, when you got real compassion, it's going to always pull you to the circumstance. It's going to always pull you to the situation. Amen. It's going to always be producing something. Faith worketh by love. Amen. And so it won't have you crossing the street. It won't have you turning the other way. It won't have you acting like you ain't heard nothing or seen nothing. See, passion will make you stop in your tracks. Compassion made Jesus stop all the time. When they called his name, Jesus, and he knew that they was for real, he stopped. He turned. Real compassion will move. Amen. Because when God gives you compassion, you can't do nothing but give it back. Amen. You can't do nothing but give compassion out the way it's supposed to be given. Amen. It won't push you away from situations, but it will pull you. Because whatever God gives you, you'll find yourself trying to give it. Amen. Amen. Because God give you something, you want to give it back. You want to give it. You know, and a lot of times we can give certain things. You know, when you have to give your money, it seems like your money is you. You know, we don't have a problem a lot of times giving away clothes, but we want to give away some good clothes. We want to give away something that you want to keep, that you still can wear. You know, we want to give away something that's still usable. But when they're still asking you for your money, you come up with some excuses. I can't give my money. I got my bills to do. I got this to do. I got that to do. Yeah, you pay your bills. I'm not telling you not to pay your bill. But sometimes God will ask you for your last. A lot of people don't believe that. He asked you to give some of your last. He asked me to give my last. And I had to question him. God ever asked you to give your last? You know, I heard people say, God asked me to give my bill, my electric bill. They said, that ain't none of God. I can't say. God ain't never asked me to give my electric bill, my water bill. But he asked me to give my last before. Several times. Give your last. He asked the widow woman to give to him first. Give me a piece of what you got. Well, if I give you a piece of what I got, then I won't have enough to do what I need to do. If I give you half, I ain't going to have the other half. The other half ain't going to be enough to pay my water bill. The other half ain't going to be enough to pay this bill. The other half ain't going to be enough to get me no gas. Well, the other half ain't going to be enough to buy that stock that I want. But God would ask you for your last sometime. Amen. You believe that. God will ask you. We saw a movie. We saw this documentary the pastor showed us called Mooley. Out there, if you ain't never seen it, go and look it up and watch it. And watch and see don't God ask you for everything that you got. He will. But God knows who to ask. He asked this man that was a millionaire. This wasn't something way beyond our time. This was something that happened during our time. This was something that we can relate to. That this man in Africa named Mooley, he became a millionaire by opening up a taxi service. And he started off with one car picking up people. He got another car, and he moved from cars to buses, from buses to bigger things. And he got so rich to where he said he was driving one day, and the Lord asked him to pull, and he pulled over, and he said the Lord asked him to give everything that he had, give all his money to the poor. And the man said he sat there for hours, saying, Lord, is this you? Is this really you? You just blessed me with this business. And the Lord said, go to the streets and you go and collect every homeless child that you can find and bring them into your house. Stop your business. The man did exactly what the Lord told him to do. The man was getting low and low and low. You have to watch this movie. He got to the point where his wife, his children, they questioned him, Daddy, hug, why are you bringing all of these kids in here? He was up on the trailers finding kids. I mean, this was a true story. So anyway, this man did exactly what the Lord told him to do. He put kids through college. But the long story short, in the end, God blessed him with double than what he had. I mean, he put kids through college, gave him a bigger house. He had a huge farm. I mean, this man did some great things. So sometimes God will ask you for your last. I ain't saying he asking nobody here for the last. We ain't begging, church. We're not begging. We all right in here. Trust me, we all right. But I'm simply saying that God will ask you sometimes for everything that you got. Amen. He would do it. And so when God asks you for something, God is telling you to give it, you know. And the reason why God is, I believe he's telling you to give it because God's going to give you something back. Amen. The Bible tells us that if we give, it shall be given unto us. Pressed down, shaken together, running over shall men give unto your bosom. Because when God intend for us to give, he know that he's got to replenish. He's got to give it back so you can keep on giving. It's a cycle. Amen. God is trying to bless somebody. But, you know, here we are. We're holding on to these things so tight to where we can't bless nobody. And the reason why a lot of folk ain't blessed because they can't give because they ain't gave nothing. You got to sow if you're going to reap something. You got to put something out there if you're trying to get something back. Or you can just keep them $2, $1,000, $100 in your pocket. Like, I just had $1,000 I ain't do nothing with. I just walked around with $1,000. If I'd invested, I'd have had more than $1,000. If I'd put it in God's hand, I'd have had more than $1,000. But I just kept it in my pocket because that was the thing to do back then. To have $1,000 walking around in the neighborhood in your pocket. Y'all know where I'm going. Look, I ain't always been saved. But God brought me from some places. And he taught me some things that I thought that was not God. So a lot of times, people don't have nothing to give because they ain't gave nothing. You got to give in order to receive. Amen. You got to give your time. You got to give your money. You got to give something in order to receive. God is looking for you to give. He's looking for you to be neighborly. You know, neighbor come knocking on your door. They need some sugar. Give them some sugar. Neighbor come knocking on your door asking you for some information. Give them the information you need. Amen. Don't turn them away. So he said, this priest, this Levite, went to the same place and looked up on him and passed by on the other side. I hope we're not passing nobody by. I hope we're not passing nobody by on the other side. Amen. God tells us to give, and it shall be given unto you. Pressed down, shaken together, running over, God shall give unto you. Amen. But verse 33. He said, but a certain Samaritan, as he journeyed, came where he was and saw him, and he had compassion on him. And he went to him and bound up his wounds, pouring in oil and wine, and set him on his own beast and brought him to an inn and took care of him. He said, now here's a certain Samaritan. The priest then passed him by. The Levite crossed the street. Now here come this Samaritan that nobody won't have nothing to do with. This Samaritan was on his own journey, came to where he was, and he saw him, and he had compassion on him. And he went to him, and he bound up his wounds and poured in the oil and set him on his own beast and brought him into an inn. This Samaritan had some characteristics like Jesus. He wasn't like the priest. He wasn't like the Levite who passed him by. He came where he was. And, you know, I don't know about nobody else, but I was in a place where God came where I was. God came where you was. I don't know where you was at, but I know where I was. And he said he came to him and he bound up his wounds. He bound up the wounds of this man that was beaten so bad. You know, I was in a place where God came where I was. I wasn't maybe laying in a street or in a gutter like this man. I wasn't left for dead, but I was dead. I wasn't beaten, but I was torn. And so Jesus one night came where I was. This man left his place. He was on his journey. He sought me out. God sought you out. Wherever you was, I don't know where you was at when Jesus came for you, but I know where I was. I was in a nightclub where there was a bunch of drinking going on, there was a bunch of smoking, there was a whole bunch of cursing going on, fornicating, all kind of stuff was going on in the nightclub. But wherever I was, that's where he was at too. He came for me. He came, I may not have been laying in no gutter. Amen. I may not have been stressed out, but I might have had a gutter mind. I might have had a gutter heart. My ears might have been gutter. My mouth, sure enough, was gutter. Amen. I was in a place where he had to come and bind up my wounds. Amen. I was messed up. I may not look like I was going through on the outside. I might have been smiling in that club. But Jesus knew on the inside of me that I was wounded. I was scarred. He knew on the inside of you, you were wounded. You were scarred. And the Bible says that this Samaritan, he came and he did what? He bound the wounds up. He bound up every wound on this man. And he poured in oil. Why did he pour in this oil? You know, back then, they didn't have no Neosporin. They didn't have no Vaseline where you can put on these wounds. So they had oil. And this oil was soothing to the wound. Amen. And we know that today that we have all kind of agents that will soothe us if we put on these wounds. But there's a wound inside of you. There was a wound that no oil could heal. I don't care what they poured on you. They could have poured all kind of stuff on you. But that was a wound that nobody could heal but Jesus. And the Bible says he came and poured this oil onto this man. Now, this all represent the Holy Ghost. When Jesus found me in that club, wherever he found you, he came and poured himself into you and soothed every wound. And he soothed the cuts. He soothed the scars. He made you whole again. Amen. So he poured in this oil on this man. And it soothes the physical and the spiritual wounds that will comfort you. You know, he gave you something that will comfort you and lead you and guide you. And the Bible says he poured in the wine also. He poured wine and oil on this man. They didn't have these agents that we had. Amen. They didn't have no antiseptics. They didn't have no hydroperoxide to pour in no wounds. They used wine. Wine was like an anesthetic. It was like an antiseptic to kill and cleanse the wounds. But I don't know nothing else that will cleanse these wounds that we got. I don't know anything else that will cleanse. Hydrocortisone won't do it. Peroxide won't do it. Iodine won't do it. Jesus poured himself in you, gave you the Holy Ghost, and then he covered you with the blood of Jesus. That's what the wine represent, the blood of Jesus. And ain't nothing else can make you whole again, nothing but the blood. Can't nothing wash away your sin. Can't nothing cleanse your sin but Jesus. Amen. But the blood of Jesus. So this man, this Samaritan came down and poured oil and wine into this man. God came down from heaven, you know, off his journey. He went on a journey. He poured himself into you. He washed you whiter than snow. He cleansed you with his blood. He poured the Holy Ghost in you. The Holy Ghost will lead and guide you into all truth. The Holy Ghost that will teach you all things, teach you how to be neighborly. It will teach you how to love your enemy. It will reprove you of sin inside of you. Amen. That's what the Holy Ghost would do. That's what this all would do. You might not been laying in no gutter. You might not been in no gutter. You might not been in no dope house. Wherever you was, God came and got you. Wherever you was, he came to you just as you was. You know, you might have been a real good sinner out there, but you still was a sinner. You might have been a nice one, but you still was a sinner. You might have been a quiet sinner, but wherever you was, he came to you and you was lost. Amen. And you was, if you was a sinner, come on, if you was a sinner, You know, some people, I ain't done nothing wrong. I ain't sinned. Need to be saved from what? You know, saved from who? From what? You know? Yeah, you was a sinner. You was in the gutter. Some of us was literally in the gutter. You know, we weren't all in the nightclub. Some was in the gutter. Some was in the dope house. Some was in the whole house. Some was on the corners. We was all over the place until he came for us wherever we was. Paul writes it like this, you know, and he had quickened, and he who had quickened you, who were dead in their trespasses and sins. So don't tell me that you wasn't no sinner. Don't tell me you wasn't in the gutter. If you was a sinner, you was in the gutter. You just was in a good gutter, but you still was in the gutter. You was far away from God. He said, where in times past you walk according to the course of this world. I don't know about nobody else, but I know in time past I walk to the course of this world. And let the truth be told that we all walk to the course of this world some form or some fashion. Amen. I don't care if you didn't get out in the street. You might have been a homebody, but you're walking to the course of this world. You were doing something that you weren't supposed to be doing. You weren't all that good. He said, where in times past, thank God that time has passed, that you walked according to the course of his word, according to the prince of the power of the air. It was something had to be in the air that will cause you to do the things that you do. People are like, what is going on in the world today? Something got to be in the air. Some kind of agent has got to be in it. Some kind of chemical agent in the air that's causing these people to act the way they act. It's the devil. It's the spirit of error that's in the air. It's the prince of this world. Amen. He's in the air. He said, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience. It is. God came to this man, this Samaritan. God came to you and washed you, cleansed you, and made you whole again. Can't nothing but the blood of Jesus make you whole again. Nothing but the blood of Jesus can wash you whiter than snow. So when God, when Lord was talking to these men, he was giving them a broader picture of what your neighbor looks like. Amen. Again, your neighbor don't have to be in your subdivision. Your neighbor don't have to be around the corner from you. Your neighbor don't have to be next door to you. You got neighbors over in Africa. Your neighbor is over in Israel. Your neighbor is over in China. You got neighbors over in Russia. Neighbors are everywhere. And he asked Jesus, who is my neighbor? Who is your neighbor? Everybody that you meet. Everybody that you walk past. Everybody that you come in contact with is your neighbor. It just ain't your immediate neighborhood. It ain't just the subdivision that you live in. This is just us. Uh-uh. Everybody is your neighbor. And Jesus asked him this question. He said, which now? Here it is. No. I got ahead of myself. He said, which now of these three thinkest thou was neighbor unto him that fell among the thieves? And that lawyer said, he that showed mercy on him. Then said Jesus unto him, go and do likewise, and you will have life too. Your neighbor ain't just your immediate family. Your neighbor is that person that you don't want to touch. You know, you'll give them something, but you give them. They ain't always looking for your money. These people out here in this world ain't always looking for you to give them no money. I believe God stages these angels around. That's what I believe. I believe some of them are angels that we're entertaining. That's what I believe. I met a couple. Tell them, brother, I met a couple Friday. I get out of my vehicle, goes into the store, come back. And the lady said, you have anything to spare? I looked. I said, what you need? She didn't say nothing. She just put her head down and just looked up at me. I said, oh, you're hungry. You want some food? She said, yeah. I said, you want to come in and get something to eat? She said, yeah. I said, let's go and get something to eat. I'm saying this for the glory of God. So we get us something to eat, come back out, and I said, well, ma'am, I'm trying to strike a conversation with this woman. I know she didn't live nowhere. I said, where you live at? She said, I don't have nowhere to live. I said, you a user? She said, yes, I am. I can't lie. And so I talked to her and encouraged this woman. Let her know that she can, God has a plan for her, that she can be better than what she is now. And I said, you want to be better? She said, I do. And then she said, my boyfriend is right there. And we walked over to him. And I started talking and ministering to him. And I said, man, you know you don't have to be out here. And he said, I know that. I said, God can deliver you. He said, I know that. I said, you know that? You know God can deliver you? He said, yeah. He said, because he did it before. He said, but now I'm back out here. He was one of the guys, one of the people that thought that he had done it again and again, that he couldn't make it back. And I told him, I said, man, I don't care how many times you fall. You got to get yourself back up and go to him again. I don't know what I said to this man. I was telling Brother Joe. But whatever I said to him, I was trying to remember. Because the man, when I said whatever I said to him, he said, man, nobody never said it to me like that. And he gave me some depth. And he just was smiling. He said, I never heard it like that. I said, Lord, what did I say? I'd like to know what I said so I can say it to somebody else. He said, it wasn't for you to know. It was for him. He was glad that I came. They didn't ask for no money. I said, can we pray? He said, yes, please, let's pray. And we prayed.